there's still a lot that we don't know here on Earth, right? A lot of exploration that needs to happen, but then there's also space, and that's the next step for us. And it's going to take a lot of generations for us to continue to do that, right? Unfortunately, I think I'm probably going to be too early before the first person steps on Mars, right? But this generation may be the one that gets to do that. Now, how exciting is that? You know, maybe I just got to talk to the person that's going to be the first one to step on Mars. Now, that would be fantastic.
Being in space for 6 months, what were the first thoughts that went through your mind as you entered the atmosphere?
Well, you know, I had a big smile on my face for several reasons. One, you're getting ready to come home, which is always very exciting. But two, you're on probably the greatest thrill ride you're ever going to be on. You know, you take the most exciting amusement park ride that you've ever been on and multiply it times 100, and that's what it's like coming down into the atmosphere. And then, though, when you touch down, there's this sense of relief. There's this weight's coming off of your shoulders because, you know, for the past 6 months, you've been living in a very harsh environment. You've been living on a station that requires constant attention, and so you just, even on the weekends when you have some free time, you never know when the call is going to come that something's broke, something needs to be addressed. And so when you finally touch down, it's kind of like, okay, I'm done. The station's still flying. I didn't break it. And so there's that sense of relief a little bit.
You've been back for some time now. Do you dream about space? You know, you were there for a long time.
Yeah.
You were there what appeared to be nighttime. I mean, when you're sleeping, do you think about that stuff?
Yeah, you still dream about it a little, but what's interesting is I've been home here on Earth for 2 months now, and again, sometimes it's amazing how quickly you forget what it's like to be up there. I don't think I can dream about floating anymore right now because I've forgotten what it feels like to float. As sad as that sounds, it is very sad. It's an incredible thing, and you just want to try and hold on to it, but it's very elusive too. It slips away.
You know, you're in a really interesting period of transition where you were up in space for a long time. You're going to be talking to students who are in a very interesting place of transition where they're going to be graduating from college.
Right.
How can you sort of relay your experiences, what you're feeling now to them as they go on to this next step in their lives?
Yeah, I guess we're going to find out tomorrow. Hopefully I'll do a good job at it.
What can you tell them?
Well, you know, all I can do is really tell them about my experiences and hopefully try and relate those to what they're going through. You know, again, none of this came easy. None of it was handed to me, and I think hopefully there's some lessons learned that I had as I've gone through my career and my experiences that I can share with them that they'll find useful.
What do people know about microgravity and kind of the human body that they didn't know before because of your work?
So that's an interesting question because a lot of the work that we do up there from a science standpoint is along the basic research side. And so that means that there's a lot of analysis that still needs to happen. And, you know, there's a lot of data collection that still needs to happen on me, on other astronauts. You know, you need to have a large data set. And so, you know, we send so few astronauts up every year that it takes some time before you get enough data to really come up with any kind of conclusions. And so I think a lot of the work that was done while I was there, the answers are still probably 2 or 3 years down the road before we might find out what was learned.
I mean, what kind of questions remain?
So, for example, you know, this issue that we have with the eyes, right? And we're taking all of these different images of our eyes, trying to figure out what is happening with them in the microgravity environment. The pressure changes that are happening inside our head are having impacts on our vision, and so we're trying to understand why that is happening and whether these are long-term permanent effects or whether they're short-term, and when you come back into the 1G environment, whether that, you know, goes back to normal. And so it takes more than just one data point, one astronaut, to try and really understand what that is. And so again, I'm just one of many data points that we need to collect before we can really come to conclusions on what's happening.
Why is that important?
Well, again, because if we're going to send people to beyond low Earth orbit, if they're going to go to Mars, we need to be confident that when they get there, they're going to be able to see and explore the surface of the planet.
The United States very much relies on the Russian space program, and we heard that Russia plans to bow out of the International Space Program by 2020. What is that going to mean for the United States in terms of its explorations through space?
Well, I think we have a lot of years to go before we hit 2020, so we'll see. I think, you know, as of right now, the International Space Station is continuing to function like it has been in the past. Obviously, there's some political tensions between the two countries at the moment, but fortunately, at the level of the space program, we're still working together very well. I think that'll continue, and so we'll see what will happen beyond 2020.
And you were there as all this tension was happening on the ground between the United States and Russia. Have you talked to your Russian counterparts, the cosmonauts you were in space with?
Yeah, we talked about it, and there's certainly a difference in perspective on what's happening. But at the same time, that's part of being a member of an international crew. And, you know, we're all not going to see things in the same way. We're all not going to have the same perspective on it. And so you have to be understanding of that, and you have to accept that. And so that didn't change our relationship, our personal relationship that we had with our cosmonaut crewmates. And again, I'm very proud to call them very close friends.
How do you top going into space? I mean, you're still young. What's next for you?
Well, what's next is I have two sons, and I'm really looking forward to seeing them graduate from college someday. I think that'll actually top going into space.
So you think you might be able to go into space again?
I sure hope so. Yeah.